For the epistle today from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. To no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to the drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. As far as the words of the epistle, reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, see thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, this Sunday we see Jesus healing certain people from their diseases. There was a paralyzed boy at the land, and then the centurion's son, and then there was also the leper. He does not heal everybody, no matter how great their faith is. But those whose diseases he heals, he does in order just to prove by this miraculous power that he can heal our souls. He did not really come to heal our bodies. We are born into this world not knowing a thing. As colleges like to put it, when you're through learning, you're through. You know, we have to learn all of our lives, new things. And once we begin to learn about where we're from and where we're supposed to be going, only then can we start to become holy. Only then can we start to direct our own selves with the grace of God to becoming a saint. And that is our whole purpose of being here on this planet. We have certain means of making ourselves holy, we know that there are the sacraments, first of all, the seven sacraments, and we receive baptism when we're little babies. And that by that we receive grace and the original sin is cleansed from our souls. So we become pleasing to God. Then we reach the age of reason, when we begin to be able to use our power of intellect to reach true conclusions, starting off with true premises. Our mind starts to work. If we just look at a simple act of reasoning, we have the algebra. Algebra has reasoning, but I meant to say geometry. Geometry, we have, for example, a triangle, and each side of the triangle is marked with one slash, or one little hash mark, indicating that it has the same value of length as any other line on that page, which has one little hash mark through it. And we can label the sides of the triangle A, B, and C. So we have side A, side B, and side C. Three sides to a triangle. And we say, if side A is equal to side B, and side B is equal to side C, then it is an act of reasoning by which we say, then side A is also equal to side C. That's an act of reasoning. We can come to true conclusions through the act of reasoning. And when a child reaches the age in which he can perform acts of reason, then the child becomes responsible for its actions too, whether they be good or bad. And it is necessary for us to emphasize the need to be good. Because when we are bad, and we're responsible for that after we've reached the age of reason, we're responsible if we're bad. If we're bad, we disappoint the good Lord. He is not happy. And if He's not happy with us, then we cannot be rewarded. Instead, we deserve punishments. And the good God will punish. He is good. What would you think He was like if He would let everybody get away with murder and then not punish them if they didn't repent? That would be not a just God. But He will apply justice where justice is due. And if someone dies without remaining in His grace, He will punish them with eternal fire. They will be sent to hell. And they will stay there forever and ever. Every one of us is in danger of hell. It is only one little step away from any one. For somebody who is not in the grace of God right now, that one step is death. He dies outside the grace of God. He will go to hell. For those that are in the grace of God, now you might say they are two steps away from hell, but they're not big steps. The first is a mortal sin, which every one of us is in danger of committing. And those who think they're not in danger of committing a mortal sin are the ones who are in the most danger of doing so. Why? Because they will tend to take chances, thinking that they are invincible. Like the teenage drivers out there that zip around in traffic thinking they will never get hurt, you know, or hurt anybody else. You know. They think they're invincible. We are not invincible, none of us. And so it is always just one step away. We're one step away from mortal sin at all times in this world. And it lasts about maybe 70 years or so. For a strong man, maybe a little longer, but gets pretty tough after that age. Right? And it's a short life. And the reason that it's so short is because we're not meant to be here forever. Someone might think, well, I'd like to live to 175 years old or 200 years. No, you wouldn't. Once you got to 150 years old, you say, I should have died a long time ago. I'm tired of this. You're not meant to be here forever, no matter how good the person has it on the earth. It's not supposed to be forever. Even before Adam sinned, he was not meant to stay on the earth in the garden of paradise forever. It's a place where we prove ourselves. We're here to show God, by our own efforts and actions with the help of His grace, that we're going to love and obey Him. That's what we have to prove in this world. And the best safeguard to being able to prove that is to look myself in the mirror and say, now there's a wicked man. God help him. If he's not careful, he's going to commit a big sin any minute. And the gals, you can say the same thing in the feminine, right? And if we have that attitude with ourselves, we'll be careful. When someone is in danger, they need to be careful. And it's taking that care that saves souls. Because Jesus already did His part. There's nothing more for Him to do. He died on the cross. He gave us the church. The church works His works in His place. Now it's up to us to do our part, which is to be careful. Careful not to sin. Careful to advance oneself in the practice of virtue so as to be made worthy of rewards. And that God, who is just and punishes the iniquitous, He's also just with the good and rewards the good. Jesus made His miracles that we saw today and all the other miracles to prove to thick-headed and dull-witted minds like ours that He really is God. And that we must not only acknowledge that theoretically in our heads, but in order to save our souls, in order to bring to conclusion that which He started, our particular salvation, each one of us, we have to not only accept that He is the Savior, as the born-again Christians also insist, they have to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Right? We have to do more. We have to also do all those things which are logical results of that fact. If He is the Lord and God, that means He has authority. If He's the Creator, that means all the creatures owe Him their obedience. Someone might say, well, I don't have to go to Mass because I'm not a Catholic and I don't believe the Catholic religion. Answer? You have no right to refuse to believe in the Catholic religion because it is the one and only exclusively true religion. And if you refuse that, you go beyond your rights. So, to the Protestant, the non-Catholic, I say, you have no right. But the Constitution guarantees me religious liberty, freedom of religion, to worship as my conscience dictates. Well, if you're going to die and be judged by the Constitution of the United States of America, that would be fine. But this is not the way things will happen. You will not be judged by Abraham Lincoln, by George Washington, by Thomas Jefferson. You'll be judged by Jesus Christ. And so you have no right to exercise any religious liberty except the liberty to obey the one true God, Jesus Christ. He came to heal our souls, but we cannot be healed. Our souls cannot be healed if we refuse Jesus or his church, the Roman Catholic Church, or if we refuse to obey his commandments. We cannot be saved without those things. It reminds me of the error of Martin Luther, which is very prominent, that we're saved by our faith alone, without the good works. Well, yes, we have to have the faith, but we cannot be saved by faith alone without keeping the Ten Commandments, too. The Ten Commandments are the good works which are not only commanded, but absolutely necessary. Because by keeping them, we not only are good, but we prove that we are putting ourselves under Jesus' authority. And not just saying that he's our Savior, but actually acting as though he's really in charge. It is the devotion of Christ the King. You know, we put him in charge of our family, of our household, and say, what Jesus wants, that is what our family wants. What Jesus commands, that is what the head of our family commands. And all the subordinates in the family also submit to those same things. Why? Because he's the boss. He's in charge and he will judge. And his criteria of judging, well, whether we really accept him in reality, not just theoretically, but we really do those things that a human being must do to obey and to serve the Lord God. So those are some great lessons, very great lessons. Today, those things are rare to be heard from any mouth, are to be seen in print in any book. But those are the words of truth and wisdom. There is but one God, the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father and the Holy Ghost. There is but one religion from God. The rest are from devils and men. There is but one day of judgment for each person, and the judge will not be any other than Jesus Christ. There is but one eternity, and once we enter, it will change none, and will last always. This short space of time on this planet, or if we go to outer space, then sort of orbiting our planet or whatever. The short space of time we have here is a time to prove oneself worthy of heaven. And we need to roll up our sleeves and do it. So let us make a determination now and keep that determination. Make our plans now so as how to keep from sinning and how to increase in virtue. And keep those plans. And when the moment comes to keep them, say, that's what I resolve to do and that is what I'm going to do. Kind of like the Romans when they wrote, so it has been written, and so it shall be done. Well, stick to your guns. The church on the earth is called the church militant. And your guns, mostly you have to be turned upon yourself, where your rebellious thoughts and desires come. Turn the guns on those rebellious thoughts and desires. There's your biggest enemy. The guy in the mirror, look them in the eye and say, you're not going to get away with nothing. Let us also ask for help from our mother. She has given us many tools in the difficult struggle. It is difficult at times. It becomes much easier if one makes itself firmly determined to do the right things. But it's not always so easy, and the Blessed Mother knows when her children are struggling to do something good, they need their mother's help. And so she's given us particular things. I'll mention some specific things that help very much. First of all, she insisted when she came to the earth that we all do the rosary once a day. If we leave out a rosary, it's a terrible misfortune, not just for you, but for the whole world. Communism entered in Austria, and it was driven out of Austria by the rosary, because 10% of the population said the daily rosary. Just 10%. Mary could have insisted on a lot more and should have. But, you know, being wimpy as we are, only 10% responded. Nevertheless, that was enough. God said, okay, 10%, that's a good portion, he said. More than we expected. Should be more like 100%, you know. Communists were driven out. Then she gave us, and Fatima, she insisted, the world is going to be punished. God's going to crush. And the good will suffer with the bad. The only way these punishments can be averted is by devotion to my Immaculate Heart, she says. That's what God wants you to do in order to be sort of spared from the punishments that God intends to give to the world. So we have the first Saturday devotions. How many of you do them every month? Ask yourself. Do you do the first Saturdays every month? Or did you do five of them and then quit because you fulfilled what you needed to receive the promises? There are a lot of people who do four and then they, some incident causes them to miss number five. And they say, drat it all, I haven't made my five yet. And I tell them, my friend, I am afraid that if you ever got to five in a row, you'd quit. And I think Mary knows the same thing. It is not fulfilling a quota that she really wants. It's your heart. She also came down at the time just after Martin Luther to combat the heresies that he instituted and sort of spread. Came to St. Ignatius Loyola, revealed to him a retreat. We call them the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola. They're really the spiritual exercises of Mary. She gave them to him. She appeared to him during 30 days and taught him the retreat, which became the bread and butter retreat, first of all the Jesuits, when Ignatius founded the Jesuits. Then was adopted in the Universal Church for all the clergy to assist at an Ignatian retreat each and every year. And finally, through some circumstances, which I won't go through into details now, they were given to the Society of St. Pius X through a French priest who got them from an ex-Jesuit. The ex-Jesuit was only an ex-Jesuit because they didn't want him to preach the exercises at the time anymore. Not because there was something wrong with him, but they didn't like the exercises anymore. They were rebelling against Mary's gift. Those exercises are available to you, adults, 18 and older. Ask yourself, have I been on retreat before? If the answer is yes, how long ago was it? Was it too long ago? Am I due for another retreat? Shouldn't I be planning it now? Maybe. if it wasn't so long ago and you're not really due for it, maybe I should plan it anyway, within a couple years at least, you know, maybe 1 year. If you've never been on retreat, Ignatian exercises, you might ask yourself two questions. Number one, why should I? The answer to that question, because it is a powerful means of holiness and insurance of salvation. We're in a great risk and we need insurance of sorts. It was given to the world not so that we could just have it in the corner somewhere, but so that we could use it. And so we have to put it to work by going on retreat. You might also ask yourself, if you've never been on retreat before, why not go on retreat? The devil will bring that question up first. He'll say, oh no, I can't go on retreat because X, Y, Z, and so on. And I give you a laundry list of excuses. And if you put those excuses up on one side of a sheet of paper, and then put the reasons for going on a retreat on the other side, you'll find that that tips the scales, always in the same direction. Better do it. It's a means of holiness and salvation. That's what life's about. And it's available, and it's for me. Same thing with adult catechism. A former superior general of the Society of St. Pius X, the great Father Franz Schmidberger, once advised his priests during a retreat, do not neglect to teach adult catechism to the parish. Many adults have never had their catechism, and they need it for the first time. That's a terrible situation, but we have adult catechism to try to remedy that. If these do not go, they neglect the means of salvation. In order to save our souls, we must know, love, and serve God in this world. If we don't know what God has taught us about Himself, we can't say we know Him. And that's in the catechism. You must learn the catechism. The adult catechism between the masses here on Sundays from 8:45 to 9:15, that's for you, you adults. It's a serious thing. Then we have, so for the adults, catechism and retreats. For the children, schools. A Catholic school. What an advantage for a child to go through a good Catholic school. What an advantage. He begins his life with the knowledge of the faith, realizing that Catholics are not weird, but they're real, normal people holding the one true faith, their eyes fixed on heaven. From the very earliest years, they ought to have that. That's why you need to build a school here. Next generations, you don't care about them, do you? If your answer is, oh yeah, I care about them, well then do something. What you can do. Encourage the school, whatever ways you can. If you have children, put them in it. We have to care about our children, and we need to care especially about their salvation. And the Catholic education is very important, very, very important. So I give you these words of encouragement. We ask our Blessed Virgin Mother, Mary, to guard us, to look over us, to help our efforts to be successful, so that we live truly a Catholic life, and believe truly the Catholic faith, understand truly all that the Catholic religion means, and not just have a complacency. This complacency, which is kind of, being pleased with one's own condition and state, that's a killer. If we think we've gone far enough, we've learned enough catechism, that's a sign that we really don't care, and it's just kind of a social thing that we do, Catholicism. No, it's the whole purpose of our existence. Our life should revolve around it. Sometimes we hear conservatives saying, well, let's just go back to the church of the 50s. The church was better off then. In fact, it was. But it's not enough to go back to the 50s. We cannot turn back the clock. We cannot bring back the same circumstances that were there. What do we have to do? We have to go forward into the 2001 through 10. And we have to bring back not the 50s. We have to bring back the faith. Because the errors which caused the 60s were already there in the 50s. They just hadn't come out of the closet yet. Catholics were just laissez-faire Catholics. Laissez-faire rhymes with lazy-faire. You know, they were lazy. They were just doing the minimum. Whatever has to be done, that's all. And their hearts were not so much in it. It was more of a social event to them, for them to do something Catholic than something which was really aimed at saving their souls. Now, of course, doing something Catholic is always, or particularly when it's a group, is always a social event in some way. But that shouldn't be where all the emphasis is. And that was the problem. The emphasis must be on to know, love, and serve God in this world. Save our souls. And that's the kind of Catholicism that we need in 2004 and for the rest of the history of the world. And if you're going to be a part of it, you've got to do something. Go to those catechism lessons. Go on retreat. Put your children in the Catholic school, the one that's the good one, not the Novus Ordo one, which is still run by the Catholic Church, but by bad Catholics. And stand up for your faith. When it comes under attack, so many of you are too deficient with your knowledge of the faith to know how to defend it when time comes for that. So the catechism is important. Use the means which are available. The Holy Rosary. Every day. It doesn't take much to say the Rosary. To say 5 decades of the Rosary is about 15 minutes. Anyone who says, I don't have 15 minutes for the Rosary, is a liar. What he's saying, really, if he was going to be honest, was, I don't want to spend 15 minutes on the Rosary. Or if I do, it's not enough to make me do it. Then to go on retreat once every 1 or 2 years, it can always be managed somehow. But the devil will give you a litany of excuses not to go. Don't listen to them. Make the arrangements and make it happen. It's there for you, for you. Don't neglect such great gifts, but put them to work for yourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.